This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As you take your seats, I want you to think with me in terms of a subject. Come out of the salt shaker. Amen. Come out of the salt shaker. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Amen. We have been talking for the past few Sundays about your mission, God's mission for your life. And I hope that all of us understand that we have been placed here on planet Earth, not for our own goodwill only, but we have been placed here so that we might accomplish the will of our Father in heaven. Amen. And so we've been sharing with you that the growth of the kingdom of God is in a real sense dependent upon us fulfilling the mission that the Lord has called us into. Amen. And we all know the Great Commission. Jesus tells us to go into all the world and all the earth and make disciples of men, teaching them to observe all things that he has commanded. That is our commission. And so we all have a mission. Amen. And it is to let others know about the Lord. I told you last Sunday that when we talk about missionary work, most times people think that it's just about sending money somewhere and sending money to dig wells and sending money, amen, to build schools and to build homes. But that is really not the primary goal of missionary work. The primary goal of missionary work is that others might see the love of Christ. Amen. Jesus said, they shall know we are Christians. What? By our love. And so in the psalm that we shared with you a couple of Sundays ago, we called it a psalm of thanksgiving primarily, but also a missionary psalm, because we find the psalmist, and we don't know who the psalmist is, but we find that individual thanking God in anticipation of blessing. Thanking God. See, most of us, we don't choose to thank God until what? Until we have the blessing. But God wants us to have enough faith and trust in him to believe by faith that he's going to bless us. Amen. And when you have that kind of faith and that kind of trust in God, you don't have to wait until you get it to thank him. Tell your neighbor, you can thank him in advance of the blessing. But the reason the psalmist was so excited about the blessings of God is because he saw the blessings of God as a vehicle to win others to God. Amen. Because he said, God, if you bless me, then I can in turn be a blessing to others, and they will in turn, amen, choose to glorify you. That's why the Bible says, let your light, what? So shine before men that they may see your good works and not glorify you, but glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So today we want to talk about coming out of the salt shaker. Sodium chloride, salt, gets a lot of bad press. It's blamed for everything from hypertension to obesity to heart disease. The need for salt is questioned. Its use is discouraged, and its presence on many tables is often more decorative than anything else. But this was not the case when Jesus announced to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth." In the cultural world of the ancient Near East, salt was an essential and valuable commodity. For example, the Roman government often paid their soldiers' wages in salt. Where are my military folk who can thank God you're not being paid in salt? Amen. But they were paid in salt. And a good faithful man was said to be worth his salt. In fact, our English word salary comes from the Latin word salarium, which means to trade or to barter with salt. Salt served a wide array of purposes in the ancient world. Interestingly, scholars have just as many interpretations of what Jesus meant by this statement about salt in Matthew 5 and 13. But of all the possible meanings, I want to focus today on three primary interpretations that I believe deserve our attention. First of all, salt prevents decay. In the ancient East, and you don't even have to go back to the ancient East, some of our parents and grandparents can testify, amen, to the fact that they didn't have refrigerators or freezers. And so to prevent meat from spoiling, they would pack it in salt. The salt would slow down the process of spoiling. That is what it means for Christians to be the salt of the earth. The presence of the saints in the world is a sovereign act of restraining grace. We are the salt of the earth, without which the forces of evil would have little or no resistance in the world. Tell your neighbor, we're the salt, we're the salt. So salt prevents decay, but secondly, salt promotes thirst. When you intake a lot of salt, you become thirsty. And that is what it means for Christians to be the salt of the earth. We ought to live in such a way that we cause people to be dissatisfied with the passing pleasures of the world. And we ought to live in such a way that it compels them to become thirsty for the living God. In Matthew 5 and 16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. But then thirdly, y'all, the most obvious use of salt in both the ancient cultures of the world and even in the modern world, the most obvious use of salt is a flavoring agent, Sister DeGray. Sister DeGray, hallelujah, bless you. Amen. She was calling herself helping me on my diet, and she brought me some popcorn, some wonderful looking, look buttered popcorn, but no salt. Tell your neighbor, I need some salt. I need some salt. And so the most obvious use of salt for us is that it makes things taste better. This little boy, he said that salt, somebody asked him, what is salt? And he said, salt is what makes food taste bad when it's not on it. And y'all, I believe that this is the primary point Jesus makes when he says, you are the salt of the earth. The latter part of the verse supports this as Jesus warns about the consequences of salt losing its flavor. Christians are to the earth what salt is to food. Christians are to the earth what salt is to food. As salt makes food taste better, followers of Christ are to influence the sinful world for the kingdom of God. We are to be kingdom condiments. We ought to be sanctified seasoning. We ought to add godly flavoring to this insipid world. To be the salt of the earth that Christ calls us to be, here it is, we must live our lives for God and not for this world. We are the salt of the earth. Y'all know the script says we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen. But we are in the world. And so the point is that we are the salt of the earth, but watch this. We're supposed to be salt for God. Not salt for the world, we are salt for God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that you know that God in time past got so disturbed with humanity and how people were acting and the sin in the world that God made up his mind to destroy the world.
And we need to understand that it ain't much better now than it was then. But thanks be to God, there's something about this planet, there is something about the earth that restrains God from destroying us all over again. And I've come by to tell you today that what makes the earth palatable to God is that there's some salt sprinkled on the earth. And guess what the salt is? You and me. See, do you understand that every time you give God a praise, that makes this earth palatable to God? Do you understand that every time you worship him, amen, that makes God say, whoo, I would destroy him, but I hear a praise going forth. And that's why I don't understand how some of us can come in the presence of God, to come before God with all that the Lord has done, with every way that he's made, with every time he healed our body, with all of the times he rescued your children out of trouble, with all of the times that he gave you a job when you weren't even qualified, and yet we refuse to give him praise. Can I tell you something? You really don't need anybody to pump you up to praise God. Can I tell your neighbor something? You really don't need anybody to prod you or push you to praise God. Can I tell you why you don't need that? Because all you need to give God the praise that is due him, all you need to worship him is a reflection on what he's done. Can I give you a minute? Can I give somebody needs maybe 5 minutes. Can I give you a little time to think about how many ways the Lord has made? Can I give you a little time to think about those moments when doctors said no, but the Lord turned around and said yes? Can I give you a little time to think about when you should have been fired, but the Lord showed mercy? He showed favor in your life. Where are my folk who don't need a praise team to get your praise on? Where are my people who don't need drums and organs and instruments to give him praise? When I think about, yeah, the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, when I realize that my being the salt of the earth in a real sense restrains God from destroying all of this, amen, every chance I get, I'm going to give him praise. Every chance I get, I'm going to worship him. But here's the issue, y'all. God is holy. Tell your neighbor, God is holy. God is holy. This world is sinful. And our holy God cannot tolerate sin. So he has left the church on earth to salt it so that he can tolerate this sinful world. Amen. You'll find examples of that throughout the Bible. You Bible readers, you will remember that you can see this in Noah and the flood. You can see it with Joseph and Potiphar's house. You can see it in Lot and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can see it with Paul and the pagan sailors who were shipwrecked with him. And we ultimately see it in the church of Jesus Christ. We are the salt of the earth, but we are living and serving and representing the kingdom as Christ has called us to. One writer said that for too long we have been tickling palates with fancy flavors, spicy relishes, and clever recipes borrowed from the world. Too many pulpits serve gourmet theology with menus from Hollywood and are trying to please the jaded appetites of the fed up humanity. But what we really need is some old fashioned salt. I said, what we really need is some old fashioned salt. And if we don't start producing more of it in our churches, we will be good for nothing. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my example to be good for nothing. I don't want my influence to be good for nothing. And so if you're going to be good for something, you need to recognize that you are the salt of the earth. And I stand to say, let the church be the church. Let the church be the church. And what is the church? You are the salt of the earth. Y'all, in the scientific chart of elements, salt is again sodium chloride. But in Matthew 5 and 13, Jesus gives us the place of salt in the kingdom chart of elements. I got 2 points, and I'm going to try to get to both of them. If I don't get to the second one, we'll get it next Sunday. Amen. But the first point that I want to share with you today is that Jesus describes his followers as the salt of the earth. Look at that passage again. The first two words of Matthew 5 and 13 are crucial. You are. These two words tell us that this statement is a description and not a prescription. What you talking about, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that it's not a command or an exhortation. Jesus is not challenging his followers to some ideal behavior. He is simply stating that the nature of kingdom citizenship is that you are the salt of the earth. Now, if you don't mind, nudge your neighbor, tap your neighbor, tell him, that's talking about you. If you're saved, if you're a believer, if you've given your life to Christ, that's talking about you. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. Jesus does not say you should be salt. He does not promise you will be salt. He does not command you to be salt. He does not exhort us to act like salt. He does not encourage you to strive for saltiness. And he doesn't exhort us to pray that God will make you salt. He says, right now, if you're a believer, if you've been born again, if you've accepted him as your Savior, right now, you are the salt of the earth. Y'all, our function is assumed, but our nature is explicit. It's emphatic. You, and he's talking to the church, you and only you. Amen. The atheists can't qualify for this. The other religions can't qualify for this. If you're going to be the description of who Jesus says you are, you've got to be a believer in Jesus the Christ. And so if you want to maximize your kingdom influence, I just need you. I just need you. Pleasant Hill needs you. Leesville needs you to wake up to the reality that you are the salt of the earth. In so many instances, churches emphasize performance and ignore character. We give positions of influence to people based on their talents, on their longevity, on connections, and we often fail to factor in the things that matter the most. Anybody interested in what matters the most? A conversion experience. Some folk in positions, and the question remains, have you been saved? I just gotta wonder how you can be in the church and still be so evil, still be so hateful. You show up every Sunday. You, amen, up in here all the time. The word is being preached. The songs of praise are going forth, and yet you still got jealousy in your heart. You still got envy in your spirit. You still got a nasty attitude. I'm just foolish enough to believe that if you've really come close to the Master, if you've really had an experiential encounter with Jesus, something has to change. Is there anybody in here that can say, I'm not everything I ought to be, I'm not everything I want to be, but thanks be to God, I'm not what I used to be. Some things are changing in my life. I said some things are changing in my life. So conversion experience ought to be one of the qualifiers for position in the church. Spiritual vitality. Amen. I know you get excited. See, and these folk get me because they sit up in here and they don't clap, they don't shout, they don't say amen, amen. But you follow them to a football game and let their team be winning. You follow, go on up there to Grambling and let them Tigers be. Or go down there to Southern and let them Jaguars be whipping Jackson State. And all 200 pounds of me.
I didn't lie.
There are 200 pounds here. We'll get to shout. But the same folk get up in church and say, don't take all of that. Don't take all of that. But do you know what I found out? I found out that if you get sick enough and have the Lord to extricate you from your sickness, you'll forget that stuff about it. Don't take all of that. Amen. Let you get broke enough. And them letters start coming, talking about, amen, you got to move. You got the money. I ain't talking about heaven. I'm talking about you got to move out of this house. And some kind of way the Lord makes a way for you to stay in that place. So he put shelter. You'll learn how to give him praise. Come on. Y'all better help me. Amen. Let your children get to acting crazy enough. And you know what should have happened, but the Lord stepped in and showed mercy to your children. Is there anybody here that will help me understand that I have spiritual vitality because I just think about how good he's been? You ought to have conversion experience. You ought to have spiritual vitality. You ought to have Christian maturity. That ought to be a qualification. Because some of us, amen, it's not that we need any more degrees. We just need to grow up. Did y'all hear what I said? It's not that we need any more, amen, degrees behind our name. Some of us just need to grow up. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say, do you need to grow up? I need to tell you today, God will not settle for salt substitutes. My doctor at one point, when, and thank God my blood pressure's in check, but when I first started, amen, with that little borderline high blood pressure, he told me about some salt substitutes. Amen. Thank you, God. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. And guess what God is saying as he's looking at you? Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Y'all know we got some salt substitutes in the church. They look holy. They know when to say amen. They, amen, know when to lift their hands. They know all that kind of stuff. But, amen, where the rubber meets the road, amen, there's some stuff lacking. They're just salt substitute. Where are my real salty people? Come on. I'm salt for God. I don't mind letting the world know that I'm salt for the Lord. And so all I'm saying, is that character precedes and predetermines performance. Dr. Martin Jones said, Christians, by being Christians, influence society almost automatically. Just by nature of the fact, y'all are witnesses, you know, if your coworkers know you're a Christian, amen, they act a little differently around you, don't they? As a matter of fact, when folk on your job or in your neighborhood, they know you go to church and you're a Christian, amen, they are less likely to do some things in front of you. Sometimes they don't know, duty. You do the same thing. I drove through McDonald's this morning to get me a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. And when I got up to the drive-thru window, I heard somebody say, that's Reverend Garner. Tell him to pray for me. So the little girl at the window said, she said, pray for it. Then tell him to, I heard it all from the kitchen, tell him to pray for me too. Amen. Do y'all understand that you've got some influence in the world? That when folk know that you can get a prayer through, that when folk know you have a connection with the master, come on, where are my worshipers at? When folk know that you have a relationship with God, they expect something different out of you. They expect a different behavior. They don't expect you to be the one to cuss everybody. Come on, amen. To be the salt of the earth is to live in such a way that your life makes the gospel of Jesus Christ more attractive to this lost world. I'm not going to get to the second point today, I can tell you. I'm going to close with this because there's both good news and bad news in what I just said. Can I give you the good news first? The good news is God uses salt. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he could have said you are the gold of the earth. He could have said you are the diamonds of the earth. He could have said you are the silver or platinum of the earth. Amen. But he uses something that is very common, very ordinary. Oh, how ordinary is salt? I heard on the CNN just the other day, you know, it's snowing up there. Amen. And they said that New York City has in reserve 135,000 tons of salt. This ain't salt for my steak. This ain't salt for my, amen, my greens. This is salt that they just gonna use it to put on the streets to help melt the snow. Tell your neighbor, salt is coming. And the good news is that God uses salt. Somebody's still missing it. I'm trying to enlighten you to the fact that God ain't looking for you to be deep. God is not looking for you to, amen, to be a billionaire before he can use you. God is not looking for you to get your MDiv and your master's and your doctorate and all of that before he can use you. God can take plain old ordinary stuff and use it for his glory. And somebody up in here ought to be happy that God uses salt. Trying to tell you God can use you without great talents. God can use you without a seminary degree. God can use you without a lot of money. God can use you without social prominence. God can use you without physical beauty. Has anybody in here ever struggled to find your spiritual gifts? Well, I've come by to encourage you, to tell you that you ought to know that God's personnel department has a wide variety of available jobs. Jesus told us to be the salt of the earth. There are 14,000 industrial uses for salt. I just told you one, putting it on the street to melt the snow. All God needs of you in order to use you is all of you. I said all God needs to use you is all of you. Whew. Well, that's the bad news. The good news is that God uses salt. The bad news is that before he can use you, he needs all of you. John 15:8. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." In other words, it is God's will to use you. One writer said, he said, frankly, I think we're being redundant because a lot of times we ask God to use us. And that ain't the question of the hour. Amen. We're asking God, you know, there's even my papa in the ministry, Bishop Martin, has a song that says, "Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me." And so a lot of folks are sitting in church and they're saying, I want the Lord to use me. Amen. But God is saying that ain't the right question. Whether or not I want to use you, I want to use you. The question is, are you available for use? The question is, are you willing to give all of yourself to me? How many of you would buy a house and you sign the papers and all of that and you buy the house and they give you the key, amen, and then you move in the house and find out that